It's time for Holiday Taste of Sam's. Hurry into your club and sample delicious party foods. Get inspired and delight your friends and family throughout the holidays. While you're there, save on your favorite appetizers, like 3 pounds of Easy Peel Shrimp for just $19.98, or 10 pounds of Yummy Tyson Chicken Wings, also just $19.98. Treat yourself and save at Sam's Club, December 16th through 18th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Join us for the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. See club for details.
Dunbar stays in the block, and the pass is picked off at the 39-yard line. Intercepted by Janoris Jenkins. Only the third interception in 13 games for Prescott.
Des Bryant basically just slips and falls here.
Is the running back here. Play action. Pocket breaks down, and there's the sack at the 16-yard line. Okwara, the rookie from Notre Dame, taking the JPP role up front, gets the sack. And Prescott backing up and gets sacked at the 41, and that ball comes out. And it is Kennard who sacked him, and then
don't think that run's going to count.
49-yard line. Prescott hanging in there, and he will slide to a stop. Third and 15. Prescott, under pressure, going deep downfield, and that's going to be picked off at the 9-yard line. Intended for Bryant. You got Leon Hall with a good run back. Ooh, all kinds of action with the blocking and attempted tackling, and he brings it back to the 39-yard line.
It's going to be thrown. He never picked up where it was. He looked back, but then it was Janoris Jenkins that basically undercut him. And so it was a free play, basically, for Leon Hall.
Third down and 6. Giants show blitz. Here they come. Prescott gets it away, and it's caught. And then it's dropped. It's fumbled by Bryant, and it's picked up by Collins. And Landon Collins to the 37-yard line. So Bryant finally makes a catch, and then he coughs it up.
Blitz. Play the hot read. This time they hit it to Des Bryant, and he can't hang on to the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to the Soul in Sports, right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAT. And I got to be honest, people, I absolutely love the fact that the Dallas Cowboys are 11 and still New York. People, what a show. Welcome to the best and worst of the weekend. We are live right now on the BDSIR radio networks, as well as right now live on Facebook from the Man Cave. So make sure you go to Facebook, make sure you go to Twitter, and like us, Soul, S-O-U-L, in sports. Also, Follow me on the Twitter. I am loud. I speak loud. And oh, yes, if you're not making her loud, then you're not doing your job. Mike Knox, because I spell my name with three S's. Because like that whore that you dated, I am hardcore. First, the particulars. People, the number to call in, 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. And we have a show for you today. Can boxing overcome the UFC? The Heisman Trophy winner. I told you it was going to be a landslide. It was going to be an easy decision. Is Kevin Durant, can he be perceived as a winner if he wins in Golden State? Because when I see Kevin Durant on a basketball field, court, shall I say, I see sucker. I see punk. I see a guy that could not win it all. You know what? I rephrase all that. I reel that back in. In the words of Kerry Champion, he has no heart. Because if he had heart, he'd have stayed somewhere to go against the Big Bad Wolf, not go join to play with the Big Bad Wolf. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, the NFC East is no longer the least. It is back, and it was on full display yesterday in the Sunday night game of the week. Hey, King Vaughn Jr., tweet all this out today that you guys cannot beat the New York football Giants. And the funny part about the whole thing is that I hate New York. So, OG Nitty, my brother-in-law, Scott, all you guys, all you New York fans, I still can't stand you. But damn it, I hate New York even more. So it's even special. 347-637-3859. Monday Night Raw Go Home Show. The last pay-per-view of the year. End of the road. End of the line, or whatever the crap that is called. We will talk about all that. My favorite word, dim sum. But first, welcome in the crew. My brother, CFO of the BDSR Networks, CEO of the new Twitch show, Radio Networks, winning 24/7. And look for us soon on that network. I know we better be coming up soon on that network. What's going on, Uncle Jay?
What's going on, Mike? Man, I almost didn't tune into the show today because I'm actually in the studio trying to put all this equipment together, getting it all situated, and I didn't even realize today was Monday. But at the last minute, as you see, I called in and I'm ready to make the show happen, man. It's a what a day in the NFL yesterday was, man, and I'm ready to talk about it. Let's do it.
See, I didn't give you a call today, and it didn't even dawn on me until I seen your name show up in the queue that you. I'm like, oh, I forgot to call Jay Chris today. I call you every Monday to wake you up or something like that. You work nights and all, but hey, you're here. That's all that matters. And also, welcome to the program. He is the host of No Foul Play. He is the co-host here. He is looking ready for the Plexi this week. And next week, the list is complete already. Who made the list? Who didn't make the list? And hey, listen here. Wally, wow. I'm sorry. So now Lathan, she is all the time sexy. But she's done nothing this year in sports and entertainment to make the list. Or did she? We have to find out later this week. What's going on away from Miami with all the beautiful Colombian women and dim sum? Hugo!
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
King Vaughn, how about them Cowboys? I cannot wait, Mike. Let's get the show on the road because I cannot wait.
And he's going to have some bars, and I ain't talking about the ones you take drinks from or shots from or pick up ladies from because he's my brother also from a different mother. But we got the same father. What's going on, Micah? And me, Richmond, on the Twitter, that is.
Man, I don't care, and I couldn't wait. I just had to look at that game and stay up late, reveling in all the hate that I have for those Dallas Cowboys. Now, we know they still have the best record in the league right now.
Yeah, they got the best record.
Right now, they're 11-2, and if the Patriots win tonight, they'll be tied for the best record in the league. You know, all that crap, whatever, what have you. So, whatever, yeah, y'all still got a winning record. You're still going to the playoffs.
Right.
You're still going there.
Playoffs.
You know, Michael still speaks. I understand. That's fine. But guess what? You still lost to Eli Derpy Dirk Manning. That's who you lost to. You lost to Peyton Manning.
Hey, they lost to a Hall of Famer. Keep it funky.
Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer.
He will be
a Hall of Famer because he had the biggest moments. Like this is what I told y'all on Friday. That you my own horn. Eli Manning somehow and his team somehow always seems to rally against teams that are unbeatable.
You did. I didn't have many games wrong this weekend. I mean, I did a god darn good weekend, Jay Chris. I know you saw them picks. I was rolling. But I was not mad that the Dallas Cowboys. Now, are we wrong for sitting here gloating that none of us are Cowboys fans, but we're gloating that they lost last night? Like, I won't even lie to you. I went to sleep on the game. Walking Dead was on. I watched that. What a great midseason finale. Thank you, finally. I woke up. First thing I did was, you know, if you're a real man, the first thing you do when you grab your remote control is go to ESPN, the four letter. Unfortunately, right? First thing, you know that channel by heart. Boom, 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 boom. Right? Wasn't on there. Said, damn it, where's my phone? There was the score right there on my phone. Went to Fox Sports 1340 AM, our Twitter account, and I saw it. I had to retweet it out. And I know King Vaughn. I don't see no tweets yet, King Vaughn, Junior 720 on the Twitter. Where's the tweets at? 11 in New York, buddy, but that's okay. We're going to calm down there. We're going to – because my Eagles lost. But you know what? People say, well, you all happy the Eagles lost too. Well, check this out. What's up, Caesar Black? Checking in from Oakland. Oakland fan right there. True Oakland fan on Facebook. Check this out. I've never, this year anyway, gloated about the Philadelphia Eagles. I knew what they were, and I never let them off the hook. Was you excited? It's football. We all get excited about football. We're fans, which is short for fanatic. I'm fanatical about all my teams, okay? But you don't hear me saying, oh, the Eagles going to the Super Bowl. No, that didn't come out my mouth. I knew what we were. I knew what we had to be and what we could become. So in a year like this, it's still better to be an Eagles fan than a Cleveland Browns fan, even a Detroit Lions fan, which they're going to make the playoffs. But still, our fan base and our team is still better off overall than those franchises. Well, let's slow down here. Pick it up where we left off at 347-637-3859 and discuss the Sunday night game in totality, starting off with the NFC East. And I'm going to go right to the game we're making fun of, and that is the Dallas Cowboys versus the New York Football Giants. Jay, Chris, you were up late last night watching that game. What's your takes from it?
The Cowboys just didn't make it happen. The Giants didn't do much offensively either. I mean, it was a 10-7 game, 3-point game. That being said, the Cowboys just didn't do enough. They didn't make plays when they needed plays to happen. They fumbled balls. They just didn't do what they needed to do to win that game. That game was there for the Cowboys to win, and they just didn't make it happen. I can't gloat too much though, you know.
Right,
I mean?
Because they didn't
look terrible. I mean, they still are right now the best team in the league record wise.
I still think they're the best team in football.
I will admit that. New York matches up very well with them. They really do. So I mean, I expected New York to win this game. I think I picked New York. I know I picked New York to win the other day. It just matched very well. I think the offense is a little too strong for Dallas, and their defense just matches up well. Their D-backs are fast, they're quick, they're not the most physical, but they can fly around back there and track down the ball. So, you know, that being said, you know, I hope to see that matchup in the playoffs. I honestly do, and I don't think Dallas loses that game if they play each other in the playoffs. It's hard to beat a team three times in one season. Very hard to do.
Okay, and what does King Vaughn do, guys? He tweets out what I said about my Eagles. I never gloated about the Eagles, Mike Knox. Well, what happened to all the dumb things you talked about the Cowboys?
I'm 30.
on the Twitter account that goes to my Facebook account. Well, you ain't said that about the Cowboys, but it's okay. I digress. You steal my man's 100 grand and all. I take this a little bit from the game, though, because I did go back because I am a perfectionist, okay? And I say this much to you, little side note, little hippie bar, right? Y'all have no idea how hard it is to discern between when you got a list of females and you're looking at pictures to not get some hoary, trashy pictures and pick out nice, you know, attractive pictures. It's really hard. Harder than you think it is looking at a bunch of girls all day, just so you know. But during that process of picking out the 25 females photos that we're going to put up for everybody to see soon, I watched that game over. And you said the best, say, Chris, they just match up well with the Dallas Cowboys. But this is something that I've noticed in this, because the Cowboys defense that we say is not good, we say their offense is good, but the defense is not, they pretty much put a – outside the one big play by Odell Beckham, they held everybody in check there in that game. And I think the Dallas Cowboys defense is playing inspired football. He's going to tweet that out. Watch. Inspired football over these last few weeks, matching the intensity of the offense. Hugo, your take on this game last night, because you and Micah was up enjoying this very, very much.
I wasn't. I kind of watched it. I think I had a graduation dinner yesterday.
Okay.
So I was watching it on the far TV. You know, the restaurant. You're the only one that's watching the game. But then I also had to, you know, take care of I had to be with my bro, Philip, which, by the way, congratulations. But he just graduated a master's degree from FIU University in marketing. So congratulations to my buddy Philip. But I was looking at the app the whole time. And in the third quarter, was it 7-0 or – I think it's 7-0, right, if I'm not mistaken? I can't remember.
It was
7-3. There you go. And I was watching. I'm like, please don't let the Cowboys score, please. And then I had to go out to the bathroom, thinking I was going to go to the bathroom. I was watching the game. But what I saw, it's true. The Giants are the kryptonite of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know. In recent memory, it has been always a New York football Giants win over the Dallas Cowboys.
I want to make Micah a little bit mad, because you see here, Micah, how everyone does not want to admit that Superman is the greatest superhero of all time, but every time someone's got a weakness, what do they use? Superman's weakness, kryptonite. That's all I'm going to say, greatest superhero of all time. Go ahead, Hugo. I had to get that in there.
But yeah,
saying kryptonite.
That's cool. It's cool. I just want to say that the Giants have the number on the Dallas Cowboys. The only thing, Jay Chris, that I think the Cowboys, since they're so inexperienced in the playoffs in the past, decade, we want to say, maybe more than a decade. Yes, they made it to the NFC Championship game 2 years ago against the Green Bay Packers, and then they lost it. I'm telling you right now, I think if they meet in the playoffs, and New York knows how to beat the Dallas Cowboys. And I think a third time also will be the charm again, and it's going to be a trifecta
in the
playoffs.
It is so hard for a team to beat another team three times in a row if they meet in the playoffs.
I agree.
I would have to say Dallas at that point would have hopefully seen enough. Now, I want to admit and get that to my man Sean Williams tuning into the show via Facebook Live, and he has a very valid point, and I'm gonna direct this one because I'm doing a lot of stuff going on right now towards Micah, and in the sense of the fans on Twitter, because you was up, Micah. You had the beautiful graphic, you know, 11 in New York that you tweeted out last night. What's up with the fans all of a sudden turning, actually, for Tony Romo? I woke up and saw that, and I thought,
lying.
That's hilarious. No, they
no.
were. Twitter
wow.
was rampant.
Really, were they really? I saw a little bit of it last night, but I wasn't taking it serious. I saw one of our own, Mr. Benson, putting a little narrative up there to see if he can get some bites about people calling for Dak Prescott. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself,
they were. What? They were. I've seen
them. I was like, hold on. I was like, so now all of a sudden, he's the top seven quarterback that I've been arguing against y'all that he's been. And that
right.
maybe in a game like that, he would have put a little bit more on it because of his veteran leadership. Well, all of a sudden, now everything that I've been complimenting Tony Romo on all of a sudden matters when y'all lose against the Giants twice.
I think it's Bush League by the fans of the Cowboys fans. It's very Bush League when this kid has played MVP-type football this year. Rookie of the Year type football. They, in my opinion, they could very well, not saying they will, win Rookie of the Year and MVP between Zeke and Prescott. He didn't have the greatest game. He had two picks. One was just a great play, okay, on that first interception to act for this. But I said this a couple weeks ago. If I got to get Tony Romo, if I had a healthy Tony Romo for a playoff run, I'm hitching my wagon to Tony Romo for the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a better quarterback than Prescott, and I do believe in momentum, and Prescott has that, you know. But
Romo is a proven commodity. I don't care what anybody say, how hurt he is, whatever. He may be the Derrick Rose of the NFL, whatever. When he's healthy, he's a better quarterback than well, I can't say that because Prescott played his ass off, and so we don't know that. But I, go ahead, real fast.
You gotta give him a couple of seasons. I mean, obviously, this is the rookie season. He's having a Cinderella story, Mike. But we'll see if there's gonna be a sophomore slump for Dak Prescott. I don't think
Absolutely.
It is because this kid is the real deal, though. This kid is really the real deal.
And I agree. Shout out to my brother down in Colorado, Derek Cade Sr., holding it down, saying they are smoking that ish. Prescott is the truth, as much as I don't like to admit it. See, we just all really hate the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, it's really a known fact. But we're going to put a nickel in the meter real fast as we have our Redskins reporter calling in right now, Anthony Saposa. I see your name right. I mean, the new father in the building. Got to keep it down. You got a little girl. She might be sleeping. You know how I like to get loud. I don't want to wake the baby via the phone, the telephone here. Anthony, your gosh darn Redskins. Now, I cheer for those guys being an Eagle fan until they play the Eagles. Okay? I do. But that game was, I'm sorry, it was, maybe it's from my point of view, but it was a very boring game. I don't, like, the last two Philadelphia Eagle games I've watched, Cincinnati and this game last night, I was just not impressed with my team, and I thought the Redskins could have won this game. And I know it's an NFC East battle, so they go back and forth, but I thought the Redskins missed a lot of opportunities in this game yesterday. Your thoughts on the game and the Redskins' victory, still staying mathematically alive for the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, the expectations were definitely a lot higher for the Redskins to come out and make a big statement, especially after a disappointing game against the Arizona Cardinals, a game in which Jay Gruden chewed him out after the game. So I think from a fan's perspective, pretty much everyone's perspective, we expected him to come out there and make some big plays right off the bat, but they just looked really sluggish, especially on defense, which has been kind of the story all year. The offense, it even kind of struggled a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, division games are always going to be close. They're always going to be tough games. They're two teams that really know each other really well. But, yeah, the Redskins left a lot of opportunities there. But at the end of the day, a win is a win. But I think it's more interesting from a perspective of from a Redskins fan that the next 2 weeks we're really rooting for the Cowboys to come through, especially on Sundays to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who hold the sixth seed that the Redskins need to make the playoffs.
When you actually mute yourself live on air because you're doing two different conversations as I was on Facebook Live talking to you, but you couldn't hear me, I said, isn't it weird that a Redskin fan and Redskins in general have to cheer for your mortal enemy just to make the playoffs?
So I think there's a difference between rooting for somebody and hoping or cheering. I think there's just a difference how you look at it. As much as it sucks and it makes all Redskins fans kind of want to throw up in their mouth a little bit, it's one of those things that just has to happen. Need the Buccaneers to lose to have a run. Even if the Redskins went out and the Buccaneers went out, then
right.
The Redskins will still be out of the playoffs. So
let me definitely need the Buccaneers to lose. Let me ask you this, Andy. It's been a while since you called in. Like I said, I know you went through you had the beautiful baby girl that was born. Do you think the trying to find the politically correct word here, the chewing out that coach did to the team helped, or you think it may have harmed? Because I know Josh Norman was playing inspired football today, but I think he's always playing inspired football. But what do you think this helped the team this going into this game?
I definitely think it was needed. I definitely don't think it hurt because I think it needs to be established that losing is not okay. And Jay Gruden is very much a player's coach, so everyone around the team, all the way up through the front office, really liked him. So it probably was a little surprising to see him go off. This was not a nice ass showing. It had a lot of heat behind it. But I definitely think it was needed. But at the end of the day, the Redskins even with the win, they still need to play a lot better than they did on Sunday, especially if we're even going to talk playoffs, because in my mind, it's still a week-to-week type thing.
Facts. I definitely understand that. Well, hey, Anthony, thank you for calling in. Hopefully we talk to you again next Monday. and find out where they are in the playoff race. You get a little baby girl a cool. kiss for us, all right?
Okay, sounds good. You guys.
No problem, brother. Also, we have the motivational of motivational fans calling into the program. One, Mr. Rev T. Now, if you're going to sit here and talk all this junk, Rev, about my birds coming out, laying the egg, being the Beagles, not the Eagles, I'm going to bang on your arse, okay? But if you want to talk some good smack about your Redskins and if y'all can beat the Cowgirls, oh, I'm sorry, Cowboys, don't disrespect anybody out there that might give us some advertisement dollars, then go ahead, Rev T. Y'all won. Go ahead and gloat.
Man, I didn't call in to gloat. I called in to tell you why the Philadelphia Eagle fans should be very angry right now at
okay,
your
why?
Team.
Why?
Listen here. We're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles team that beat Washington damn near in every category that is. We talking about Carson Wentz had more Carson Wentz, that is. He had more passing yards than Kirk Cousins. He had more assists than Kirk Cousins. Okay, at the end of the day, when you break the scene down, Mike Senior, Jay Chris, and Makai, when you break this scene down, then this way the game unfolded at for the Philadelphia Eagles. We talked about y'all ready for this?
Ready.
Dude, you got some bootstraps on right now.
I got my belt on my wrist, so I'm waiting. I'm listening. Signing night.
Come on, march with me. See, I don't understand what Brother Anthony was looking at. Maybe he fell asleep with the baby. But see, what I saw was Redskins defense that caused the Philadelphia Eagles to have four turnovers. They wasn't asleep. They was wide awake. You got your bootstraps on?
I'm listening.
Come on, let's talk a little sports. March with me. Listen here. What's so special is Mike Senior, Jay Chris, and Makai is the Philadelphia Eagles. They was down in the red zone four times, and they came out of that red zone. Listen here. 1-for-4, 25% percentage. Okay, in that red zone. Guess what? Y'all want to know where the turnover is? Where the sunlight came for the Washington Redskins? They was 1-for-1 in the red zone. Did y'all hear that? The Redskins was 1-for-1 in the end zone. Let's take away what happened with Sugarfoot Hopkins. I said back in London on the Sports Revival, and y'all can follow me at Rev T and DC too, and make sure y'all go follow the Sports Revival, and we be on tomorrow night 8 to 10
always,
p.m.
Always.
And then Wednesday. 8 to 10 p.m. Y'all catch the live show. But what's so special about this is in the red zone is where the Philadelphia Eagles couldn't get over that hump. The Washington Redskins offense didn't play the best offensive game. They had some highlights to make you happy, but it wasn't the normal high-octane offense putting up miraculous points after points that you normally see in the fashion that we've seen in the weeks past. So in the final minutes, in the final wilds, the Washington Redskins, they went to Philadelphia and they clipped the Eagles' wings with all that Bergman gold power. See, I know y'all got to go, and I got to go too. But see, listen here, one thing y'all got to understand, you Eagles fans, is that the Washington Redskins, you Bammers can't never get through. I tell it.
That's where I got to stand with Wiki you. Because you ain't telling me nothing, Rev. Your show's tomorrow. Just watch them. Okay? Just because your whack-ass quarterback didn't beat us four straight times means nothing. Because next year, you Washington Redskins fans and your team, I'm coming for you. And I don't care how nice it is to me. And y'all, you know, we talking stuff and all that kind of conversation stuff that we be having. You're my enemy next year. You understand? You're my enemy. 347-637-3859. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come right back. The top plays in the NFL Week 14. And we'll be right back, y'all. More Soul and Sports right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP.
And this time King punts it away from that spot. It's right down the middle of the field. And Hill is off to the races, and he is going to go all the way. Tyreek Hill. Do not see a flag. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Long ball time. Looking for Brown. And he makes the catch with a defender, Darby, right there with him.
And they hand it on a receiver running around. J.J. Nelson is loose. And J.J. Nelson will tie this game, pending the extra point. It was a fake inside to Johnson. And Nelson, the speedy second-year receiver, took it and ran through the Dolphin defense.
Yeah, it was close. So they'll run.
Kelly breaks another tackle. Rob Kelly into the end zone. Touchdown.
Keeps running like that. There's going to be a lot of people comparing him to Marshawn Lynch.
Second down and nine. As Bradford goes deep, a diving catch is made by Diggs. Stephon Diggs. 46-yard connection.
You've got to go out and make that catch. Stephon Diggs with a huge catch for the Vikings.
Stafford under pressure. Leonard Floyd giving chase. This little juke move to free himself up. Stafford takes a shot, and it is caught. Marvin Jones on the comebacker.
And Matthew Stafford, because he keeps his vision down the field, is able to locate.
The play fake to Grant. Bortles throws downfield, and it is Lee. Another spectacular catch for a Jaguars first down.
Cousins all kinds of time. Going to sling it deep. DeSean Jackson turns around. Willie Mays, tight catch. And DeSean Jackson, touchdown.
My goodness, 80 yards. Get the photos, you got it all. And the videos. Jonathan Stewart busts a couple of tackles. And he rolled over and kept going. There was no whistle on the play.
He puts his hand down, but as he flips over, see how he's on top of the defender? You're not considered down.
Tannehill's pass is caught by Jarvis Landry. Can he get the first down? Yes! And there goes Landry. Jarvis Landry inside the five of Arizona. He caught it, he broke a tackle, and ran for 70-plus yards. Fake the draw, Rivers gets hit, throws to the end zone, the catch by Inman, and it throws a touchdown. He caught it at the pylon.
Luck on 30-10, crumbling pocket hit as he throws, and on the ricochet, hold in. Hilton reels it in for the Indianapolis Colts. Oh, my goodness, what a catch.
Stafford. Under pressure, going to tuck it away and run for it inside the five, and he's in for the Lions touchdown.
You just love the grit and poise of Matthew Stafford.
Hammer. Oh, caught by Clay.
And he's got Stafford, takes off to the end zone for the touchdown.
And he stays inbound, looks like Charles Clay does.
Rodgers, end zone, pass. Jordy Nelson, his second of the day.
Wilson makes plays with this offense.
Second and 12, watch out from behind. He gets hit, and it was Vic Beasley who picks up the loose ball. Fumble recovery and a touchdown. Well, the Falcons may not have a suffocating defense, but they certainly have game breakers in the likes of veteran Dwight Freeney and Keanu Neal, and especially Vic Beasley. Sack, fumble, touchdown. Tackled over the middle, it is caught by Quincy Enunwa. Oh, my goodness.
I'm with you. There was a question mark at the end of that. I thought that was, I thought that was going the other direction. I thought Tart was going to take that.
End over end punt by Anger, trying to pit him deep. And did they flip it back in time? It is down inside the one-yard line. That is spectacular coverage.
Keeping this field ready to be played on.
Here's one to the end zone. Pass is caught for the touchdown. McAvoy.
It's the young rookie McAvoy catch. And he secures it going to the ground. That's a heck of a grab.
Two interceptions in 12 games. Two tonight, and that's Beckham making the catch. And off to the races he goes. Carr chasing him down. Can't get him. Touchdown, Giants. They take the lead.
There is nobody like him. With the ball in his hands, he has to be the most exciting player in the National Football League.
My bitches is the rider. 347-637-3859. I'm going to call in. Sean Williams asked the question, do we agree with Jeff Fisher being fired and in a manner that he was fired in? I'm going to let you go ahead, Mike, and answer that question first. Was Jeff Fisher rightfully fired from the Los Angeles football Rams?
Let's see. Was Jeff Fisher, was he rightfully fired from the...
Yes!
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. We've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for this for a long, long time. What did I tell you? Him and Rex Ryan, well, at least Rex Ryan has a better running percentage of the team. But they are the most overrated. I was trying to figure out how in the world he was a head coach for 22 years. And then listening to keeping updated about the firing, things like that, I knew he was mediocre. I knew he was below average. I didn't know he only had 6 winning seasons below average. Like, I was like, hold on. Only 6? He's been
I don't think he's won since Steve McNair passed.
I'm just saying, how do you have the longest tenure? How do you have the longest tenure as a head, one of the longest tenures as a head coach, just constantly getting jobs in the league, helping two teams transition when they go from one season to the next, and you haven't produced anything that remotely looks like a winning season outside your one-and-done playoff runs to the Super Bowl? You know, and not only that, here's the thing that's funny, and Vaughn kind of tweeted this. One of the things that showed me what kind of person Jeff Fisher was one, how he treated the Eric Dickerson situation. Two, how he was calling out other people for not doing their jobs as if he's not the head coach and he's supposed to be good enough to coach up players that may not be necessarily, you know, a Hall of Fame caliber talent, you know. He's supposed to be the head coach. And that's the difference between a guy like a trash coach like him and an excellent coach, cheating or no cheating, and Bill Belichick, who actually can take, you know, a one-star or a two-star or a two-star player and get production out of them that makes them 4-star or 5-star production. He can get that out of them. And that's the difference between good head coaches and sucky head coaches. And I'm glad he's gone. And if he gets another job, we're going to have to examine the head of whoever the owner is because there's no possible way.
Well, I think he will get another job. First of all, it's a fraternity. It's a fraternity. And, you know, Jeff Fisher will get another job somewhere. Maybe in San Francisco, because I think it's time for Chip Kelly after 1 year to go also, being at 1-12 right now from him. I think the NFL should realize that he cannot coach in the NFL, and they caught up to his system that was working very good at Oregon, which is Huggo's school, Huggo's former coach. Huggo, was Jeff Fisher rightfully fired?
Absolutely, 100%. He should have been fired probably a decade ago. He's so outdated as a coach. However, the original question that you asked was the way that he was fired.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, 3 games left before the season's over?
It was a hard way to be fired after the extension just
it
came
was.
Out a week or two ago.
Exactly.
So that's kind of strange.
Let him finish off the season. Yeah, and then you would have fired him at the end of the season. But he should have been fired possibly a decade ago. And that's a decade ago. So, yeah.
A decade ago. Uncle Jay, Jeff Fisher, I believe he was fired inappropriately, but deservingly, nonetheless, Jeff Fisher let go from the Los Angeles Rams. Long overdue?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we started off the season saying, how does Jeff Fisher have a head coaching job in the NFL?
Right.
We started that. We can go back to September, August, and replay shows where we said, why does this guy even have a job? I mean, Wiley told us why, because the teams are competitive. But, you know, when it comes down to it, competitive is not enough. Everybody competes. Everybody competes. Only one team gets a trophy. And that team has not been close to getting a trophy since what, 2001, something like that.
It's been a very long time. They do beat Seattle every year or tie, right? He's done
yeah,
that.
They compete with Seattle every year,
right?
But you know, at the end of the day, I mean, the team has stunk. Stunk. It's Christmas time, right?
Well, he didn't want Jared Goff.
He did not.
You know, from things he I heard, he wanted Carson Wentz. but the organization wanted Jared Goff.
Right. That's what I was hearing as well. And that also leads me to believe that there's some difference of opinion in the head office.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Along with the coach. And what happens when that? The head office people don't fire themselves. What do? They get rid of the coach. And they get someone who's going to agree with what they want to agree with, whether it's right or wrong. You know, when it comes down to it, Jeff Fisher can say, look, that's not the guy I wanted. And he'll be right. And then the head office guy has to deal with that. But when it comes at the same time, like Hugo said, he should have been fired a long time ago. I don't know how he kept a job in the NFL when there are a lot of coaches that are probably way more deserving than him. I would even give Nick Saban another run before I hired Jeff Fisher. I don't know why, but I would, to be quite honest. Jeff Fisher, it's time to go. Don't come over here to Philly. Don't come here.
Yeah, hey Chris, but to your point, I want to let you know what you just said right there when it's talking about that he wanted Carson Wentz. There was some reports out there that a lot of stuff was coming out now that he's getting fired, obviously, and that he's fired. And I do believe that he was actually, based on the way he's been acting and a lot of the Bush League stuff that he's been doing, he got his just desserts in the way that he was fired. That's just me. But Carson Wentz, and of course, you know, as Michael Propoli named Winston Baker, and Jared Goff, were interviewed by some guys, you know, some insiders from the prominent networks and stuff like that. They were interviewed, and both of them talked about if they were to get picked, that they'd rather go to Philadelphia because Philadelphia presented a more more stable environment for someone to actually get growth at the quarterback position.
That ain't saying much for the Rams. I'll tell you that, Micah.
I mean, it's not just saying much for the Rams, but think about the kind of coaches that you have in Philadelphia. When it comes to the coaching in Philadelphia,
right.
You have people
exactly.
who can teach the quarterback position, actually develop it. When's the last time you ever heard of a Rams or a Tennessee Titans team headed by this guy, and outside of Steve McNair, where the quarterback position was developed, and it was a quality quarterback.
The last time that Jeff Fisher developed a quality quarterback was Steve McNair, and he didn't want Steve McNair.
I'm sorry,
I'm incorrect. He didn't want Vince Young. Vince Young probably could have been something better than what he was. He didn't want Vince Young. Vince Young came in his rookie year and showed out. But he didn't have the support of Jeff Fisher beyond that. The last good quarterback Jeff Fisher coached, from my best of my memory, is Steve McNair. God rest his soul.
347-237-3859. I think that's the longest and should be the longest ever we talk about the Los Angeles Rams again and Jeff Fisher.
Amen.
Can we put that to rest? Jeff Fisher, I think he's doing another coaching job, however, Jay Chris. I do. I think he still will get a coaching job. He's coached too long in his league. Someone will offer him a contract because that's the NFL. I don't think there's nothing for him in college.
No way he will.
You know, that's
stupid. They're stupid if they do. They are ready to go ahead and show that they're ready.
He can't do no worse than going to Cleveland. You know, sorry, Jackson, that's out there and he got his job. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying somewhere like Cleveland,
San Francisco. I think Cleveland's in the worst position. Cleveland was in the worst position in L.A. when it came to personnel, when it came to front office. I think they were in the worst position. So
Cleveland was selling off assets like they were Michael Jackson. I get that. But I'm just saying overall, you know, I mean, a place like Cleveland, a place like San Francisco, Buffalo, if Rex, because I'm hearing now that Rex Ryan's job may be on the line as well in Buffalo. So I do believe Jeff Fisher will land on his feet again somewhere. But I want to turn your attention right now to – let me ask you guys this much, and we're going to move on from the NFL. Best and worst of the NFL in Week 14, a lot of injuries, fantasy football-wise, that crippled me, especially Melvin Gordon going out with a bad hip, as well as – everybody want to gloat on Oakland. The Miami Dolphins, Hugo, was looking pretty damn good. But now Tannehill, or you like to refer to him, Tanner Trash, is gone for the year. It's all right. Have you seen Tanner Trash's wife? She's pretty hot. I think he'd be okay.
Oh, she's hot.
Very, very hot. If she was actually in sports, she might have made the top 25 female list for this year and what's going on out there. But unfortunately, she's just a player's wife, so technically she's not in sports. She may have sports in her, but she's not in sports. 347-627-3859. Start with you, Jay Chris. Best and worst of the weekend that you've seen from the NFL?
Well, from the NFL, the best of the weekend in the NFL for me would have been Dallas Cowboys losing. Come on, man. Dallas Cowboys losing. Anytime they lose, it's a good day for me. The worst of the weekend would have to be Philadelphia Eagles losing. Anytime they lose, it's the worst of the worst. That's all I got to say about it. That's all I got.
Micah, will yours be the same? Because I told you that those Indianapolis Colts weren't going to win. I said that. That division is the worst division in football.
I can always hope, but in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, they're going to lose.
but like myself, you've never gloated about the Colts being very good. Matter of fact, week in and week out, you say how bad your team sucks. So I give you credit.
You have taught me how to be an intelligent sports fan, and I realize there's only a few fan bases that they don't talk intelligently if their team is not really that good or their team has some flaws, but they're not willing to admit it. Patriots and Cowboys fans are come to mind instantly, and then there's some other ones that are a little delusional too. But I'm real, man. I mean, Andrew Luck is pretty much all we got outside of Adam Vinatieri, and Pat McAfee is fantastic as a punter. Fantastic punter. That's about it. I mean, Vontae Davis when he's healthy. We got four good players. About it. My best of the weekend, I have to give it to you, man. My best of the weekend was, of course, the Cowboys moving to the Giants. But also, now, it wasn't a beatdown like I thought it was going to be, but they did do some damage and actually a better job against Drew Brees than I thought. And I'm very, very pleased to see Famous Jameis and Tampa Bay Buccaneers know what they're doing in the NFC South, making Atlanta work for it. Those are my best. What's up?
No, Drew Brees killed me. He killed me in fantasy. I didn't know to start him or to start Matthew Stafford, and I just rode what got me to the playoffs, which was Drew Brees, as he did go over again 4,000 yards on the season. But, man, he had two interceptions, and he did not have the greatest game against Tampa Bay, and I should have known better with that. But also, look, Detroit also struggled as both quarterbacks were in a divisional matchup, and I don't like divisional games are the most Russian roulette you can call it in the NFL you're going to get. I don't care how bad you are versus how good you are. When you're in a divisional matchup, it's a different ball game, and people need to really understand that. People look at these games, they go, oh, this guy's going to crush that team, or that team's going to crush that team. And we talked about Jeff Fisher and the Rams. Look how many times they shocked the world and either tied or beat Seattle when Seattle was world beaters at that time. Hugo, best and worst of the weekend for you from the NFL?
No, the best of the weekend was definitely the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys losing to the New York Football Giants? The worst of the weekend? What the hell, New York Jets? We don't want to win. We want to continue tanking. What happened that we gave up last week? What happened to this move? I thought we were going to give up against San Francisco 49ers, to be honest with you. We were down 17-6 in the fourth quarter. And I can't believe when I was on the way to the graduation dinner that I saw that they actually won 23-17. But other than that, that was the worst of the weekend. I really want the Jets to actually get a higher pick. However, we still don't need to get no quarterback. We really do need to get a brand new secondary because our secondary absolutely
sucks. That's my quarterback.
The new Jets.
That's my quarterback. Best of the weekend for me also, I have to agree with Jay Chris every step of the way, was watching the Dallas Cowboys lose. I'm sorry. I get nothing out of it more than watching the Cowboys lose than anything in football because – it's not only do I not like the team, and if I was a player, a fan of just sports, right? Unfortunately, I'm not. I'm old school. I like what I like, and I hate what I hate. The Dallas Cowboys are a very hard team to hate. They're built right now offensively with that offensive line, Zeke and Prescott. To me, they're built for the future, and they look really, really good in the future. And they picked up my boy Sheldon, who's going to be a linebacker for them next year, who's not playing this year because of the injury he served in the bowl game last year or earlier this year. Didn't play this year, but, I mean, they're just going to be a really good team moving forward in the future. But worse, Philadelphia Eagles. And I know Rev T came on here and he mentioned, you know, what the Eagles were doing. And people, and I'm in different people conversation debates, talking about one Carson Wentz, somebody's not a good quarterback. And I say this again, what are you watching? Don't be a hater of a team. Watch what a team does. Watch what a player does. And if you look at Carson Wentz, you can definitely see he has the tools to be a good quarterback. The problem is that the team don't have the tools to equip him with what he, you know, what he can excel at. So best and worst of the weekend for me was definitely the Cowboys losing and the Philadelphia Eagles winning. But I want to turn your attention right now to the NBA, just for a minute. We haven't talked much NBA this year. We know we will once football season concludes. But I want to make sure I choose my words carefully when I say this. And so I'm going to take my time. And by taking my time, I will say this much as well. Kevin Durant, in the words of Kerry Champion, has no heart. Do you agree or disagree? That is the question. And Vaughn, yes, I'm taking my time right now. I want to make sure I get my words out and be clear and be honest, you know, because that's all one can be. Sidebar, blind tag, because I do got Tourette's. It's okay. Sometimes I go from left field to right field. My wife says, anybody watch that movie, Up? I'm that dog. Squirrel! That's me. At any given moment, I can just say something. My wife gets really mad when I do that. Rhino versus Hulk versus Juggernaut. Clash of the Champion. Titans. Who wins, Micah? Who wins, King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter? That's a good one. Rhino versus Hulk versus Juggernaut. I still say Hulk, no matter what. But, and I'm only wasting time here, y'all, because I'm getting my Facebook Live back up. So if y'all didn't know that, now you know, and knowing it's half the battle. Y'all know the rest, right? It's G.I. Joe. Oh, you do know that a little bit.
I grew up around the area. Just a coach.
As we are now live on the Facebook. So I ask the question again, or I make this statement again. Kerry Champion was correct in my opinion in saying Kevin Durant has no heart. And this is why I say this. I'm watching the Golden State Warriors play, and they're just beating everybody. They're world beaters. They didn't need Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? And I'm watching this, and I'm just watching it saying, this is freaking unfair. It's unfair. It's unfair to have that team. Like, could you imagine if basketball had no salary cap like Major League Baseball, how bad the NBA would be? Because right now, the NBA is pretty bad. Okay, you can sit here, Knicks fans, and think you have a chance. You can sit here, Bulls fans, and think you have a chance. If you're not Cleveland because they have LeBron James, if you're not San Antonio because, damn it, they got Popovich, I don't care what to say. Insert any damn body. He can coach players, okay? And coaches like Greg Popovich are dying. They're a dying age. They're fossils. They don't exist anymore. So if you're not Golden State, you're not LeBron James, whatever team he decides to go to, or whatever's in the Spurs, it's unfair. And I know we talked about this and we beat this over and we called them all kind of names in the offseason, but the season's here now. And I'm watching Kevin Durant with the Golden State Warriors, and all I can say to myself is, you're a sissy. You're a punk. I said it. I don't give a damn. He can put a Tupac tattoo on him all he wants to. That don't make him a thug. Tweet that. That don't make him a thug because he got a Tupac tattoo on him. And you're a punk, dog. How can you be from PG County, right? Ain't that where he's from, PG County? He's from, like, the D.C. area, right? You're making every man that I've ever met from the D.C. area a sucker because you're a sucker. Could not beat him, so you went to play with him. I'm watching the game. I'm like, damn, they just clowning and no-look passes and whooping ass and taking names. You see how bad they beat the Clippers? Kevin Durant, heartless, in my opinion. Or do you disagree, Hugo?
I agree. I agree 100%. And reason being is because, listen, I hate that statement, Mike, that they say if you can't beat them, join them. That obviously does not make you a leader. That makes you a follower. And I thought Kevin Durant
was actually a natural born leader. He obviously decided to pick up his ball, decided to go to the enemy. And if he wins a title, in my opinion, there's going to be an asterisk behind it because he couldn't do it on his own, that on a team that he led. He had to do it with the enemy and follow the enemy to greatness. So to me, I agree with you 100% and with Kerry Champion.
It's like Luke Skywalker joining the dark side.
Right. That's exactly what it is. I'm sorry
to call the Golden State Warriors the dark side because they're not. I mean, we hate them now because they're so goddamn good. You know, it's not like we hate them.
And it's not like a team like the Dallas Cowboys.
Love them for nothing. Right.
It's just a phase. Remember when people were behind the Seattle Seahawks bandwagon a couple of years ago, and also with the Carolina Panthers last year. It's just a phase. I mean, we can't deny their greatness. You know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, all those boys right before Kevin Durant got there. And then this dude decided to pick up his ball and actually go to the dark side. They don't need him. Exactly. They do not need him.
They didn't need him. And that's what makes me say he's a sissy. What's going on, Tony? What's going on, D-Block? And then I'm watching the NBA, and I'm just like, yo, this is whack. This is whack. The most fun I've got this entire year watching the NBA is watching the process in Philadelphia.
And I'll be honest with you. And, Mike, let me just say one more thing really quick. If it was up to me, and you know me. You know my love for LeBron. My love for LeBron James. But
you have no love for LeBron.
This is 1 year, though, that I would love to see LeBron James triumph over the Golden State Warriors because of that move that Kevin Durant decided to do, you know, to join the dark side, and there's nothing going to be sweeter than seeing LeBron James.
In the words of KRS-One, that punk, he's soft a sissy, okay, from my real hip-hop fans, okay? Because, like, I went for them last year because it was like, it was 3-0, it was Cleveland, I will cheer for LeBron even more now to beat this team. Jay Chris, before I take Micah's take on this, Jay Chris, I'm sorry, dog. I'm watching the NBA, and besides the process, what's going on, sis? Besides the process in Philadelphia, to me, the NBA is trash. Kevin Durant and the NBA has made a mockery of the system. And that's just taking – and I know people are saying, well, he has the right to go where he wants to go. Okay. Yes, he does. He does. I said the name of LeBron James. If you had a chance to go to Cleveland over Miami with your boys, I'd have chose Miami too. That's what your boys was. It's Miami. A different kind of sexy down there. I say it all the time. Okay. But with that still put to the side, you grow up a man. I told my son today, he almost had a tear in his eye. I said, what is this with the vacuum cleaner? Right? Teach him a lesson. Teach him a man stuff. Right? Pull the string, got the vacuum. I said, what if I die tomorrow? What are you going to do? You got to be a man. Everything I taught you, you got to be a man. And he had a tear. I said, don't cry. But tomorrow's not promising. I'm being honest with you. I'm teaching him how to be a man at every step of the step. My son would not join. I don't get playing with the best. I can't get that out of my system, Jay Chris. I just can't. It drives me bat ish crazy that the NBA, watching the Golden State Warriors, it's not even entertaining anymore because they just beat everybody's arse. Jay Chris, please shut me up.
I agree with a majority of what you're saying. We grew up in a time where –
What part? That he's the punky, softy, sissy part? Or not that part?
Nah, because I'm still a fan of him, so I can't go there just because I'm a fan. But we grew up in a time where the best didn't go to play with the best, right? Miami wasn't the first super team. You know, the Bulls back in the second run wasn't the first super team. There's been super teams before. I personally, to be honest with you,
all right, hold on, one second, because I think that's a debate and an argument that I cannot get out my system either. All right, please just remember what you're going to say. Please put a nickel there. Besides what Miami did, what super team was built by the players saying I'm going to go play with this guy? Because to me, there's always going to be a loophole in this, and that's if your team is intelligent enough to put it together, then that's what teams are supposed to do.
You're talking about the process. I'm just talking about a super team. You're talking about the process of it, which I understand. I'm just talking about the fact that a super team, you know, just having guys on the team, having the team being built with guys that are great. You know, Showtime Lakers comes to mind. The Celtics come to mind.
Drafted,
the Sixers
drafted
in their championship year come to mind when they went out and got Moses Malone.
Drafted. Closest one I could say would be the Bulls because they were already winning. And they went out and picked up Dennis Rodman. You know what I mean?
Drafted to the Sixers. They went out and got Moses.
Okay. But that team wasn't a super team. I think Moses Malone helped. At the time,
they said that was the best team ever put together for one season in the NBA.
I disagree with that because that Lakers team to me was still dominant and still was a great team that they beat in the championship.
But they swept. They swept that great team.
People forget that.
We're talking about one season. I'm talking about one season. After that, it was basically this band because I think after that they got Charles Barkley. I mean, that team should have been good for a while, but it wasn't. But for one season, that was the best team in the history of the NBA. Not speaking record-wise, just talking about what was put together and people I've never seen like that. But back to Durant and the Warriors, I actually, surprisingly to myself, have not even really watched the Warriors this year. I don't know if it's because of a lack of interest because I expect them to blow everybody out or the fact that, you know, they're late. Maybe I'll see more of them in football.
I'm trying to watch the Generals every night. Did you see the game last night? They were down by 10 points going into the fourth quarter against Minnesota, right? And they went on a 25-4 run. It's watching Golden State. It's like watching the UConn
love that.
It's a foregone.
People loved it when Miami was doing it.
Who loved it
when Chicago was doing it.
Chicago did what?
No, I mean,
what are you talking about? I'm lost. What did they do?
When Chicago on that season where they went 72 and 9. What was it? 72 and 10.
Yeah.
72-10, they would have runs where they would just blow people out.
I'm not knocking what they did last year because that team, with the exception of Andre Iguodala being a free agent and a couple of minor pieces there, the pieces that people didn't even think was great, the team was put together. I'd have had no qualms with Golden State the way they were, even during that year of breaking my Bulls record that they didn't win a ring in, so who cares about a record without a ring, okay? However, when you go out and get one of the best players in the world to come play with you, and I love LeBron James' statement towards that. I know you should have loved it as well, Hugo. He loved the fact, to try to beat me, you got to do this. That gives him even more ammunition to prove that he's the best player in the world and better than Kobe Bean Bryant. I said it. LeBron James is better than Kobe Bean Bryant. Sue me.
I can't disagree. LeBron might be one of the best all-around players we've ever seen.
And I think people should recognize how great it is. We had a Fox 32 did a list of the biggest fans in the world, not just of a sport or, you know, like that. LeBron James, I think, was ranked 8th. I tweeted it out. He was ranked 8th on this list with, like, Netflix and The Walking Dead. By the way, the Chicago Cubs were number 1. Micah, does Kevin Durant exuberate? That's not a word. I made it up because it's my show and I make up words. Is it a word?
No,
exuberate?
No, that's a real word. Exuberate.
It is a real word. But then I don't know if exuberate's a word, but exuberate's a word?
Yeah, I think that's a different form of exuberance.
All right. Well, look at me being smart. I'm a scholar. Is he punk? Is he soft? Is he a sissy Kevin Durant? Because I think he's making NBA garbage.
Well, I mean, it's not just that he's making the NBA garbage. I mean, once again, right, all those guys that's talking right now, we're not knocking him for the move from a standpoint that, hey, if I want a ring, why not go with a team that's pretty much a lock to get to the finals? No one's, like, debating that was not a smart basketball decision. What we constantly are debating when it comes to Kevin Durant is how do you feel as a man when you see this man have Golden State virtually found a Draymond Green kicking balls. They had him. They had
he likes balls. He likes balls, just like Tom Brady.
He likes
balls.
But they had him. They had him right by the scrotums, and they were beating them 3-1. And then in all three games in which they had to close them out, they were leading all three games. So it was almost like he didn't want to be the leader. He wanted to be a follower in that sense. But he had it all. It would have been, and it should have been, LeBron versus KD, too. That's what it should have been. It should have been a second matchup of two of the greatest basketball players we've ever seen. Of course, Russell Westbrook was in that conversation as well. But, of course, we're talking about Kevin Durant in this sense. And when he decided to go to Golden State, it wasn't that he decided to go to Golden State. It was that the way he lost, how he lost, and the fact that Golden State was already a 70-something-plus win team without him is why everyone got so up in arms. Everyone respects his decision
That's
from the standpoint of basketball, but we do not respect it as men. Because as a man, I ain't going to lie to you, right? If I had an issue, and I had issues with my brother, right? I had issues with my brother growing up, you know, family, stuff like that, all that stuff, we get in arguments. My goal wasn't to join him in what he did. My goal was to beat him, to show him that I could compete. Not that I can just join him in and just have a good time. I wanted to be better than him. Every guy that I met, and when because you know the marching band is a sport for those of you who don't think it is. As a tour player, as a man, I went in there with four other guys who were outplaying me. I didn't want to just join them and be friends with them. I wanted to cut their throats, musically speaking. And guess who graduated on time? Yeah. So all I can say is, as a man to a man, my goal in life was not to join a winning team already. It was to be a part of something to build it and brand us up. And this is why every single person, fanboy that tries to make excuses for Kevin Durant and tries to say, well, LeBron did the same thing. And like, no. See, LeBron did not do the same thing because Miami was not a dominant team before he got there. When he got there and he completely
counted
with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh,
good point.
It became a dominant team. You know what I'm saying? So
good
it became
point.
A dominant team after LeBron joined it. And then what happened when LeBron left? Were they still a dominant team? No.
Let me say this much, and we're going to move on away from these punk, he's soft, he's sissy Kevin Durant, okay? And that's this. To be the man, you got to beat the man. So LeBron James is clearly the man. And he's so much the man that they got to make a team that can beat him like this. And I'm sorry. Sean Stewart chimes in on Facebook, says, if the NBA had a hard salary cap, Durant wouldn't have stayed with OKC. I agree to an extent with that, but it wasn't the money there. They offered him more money in that. So I was just saying, okay, if they could have offered him even more money than what they got. At this point, these players aren't even going for the money. They're building teams to beat LeBron James. They want a ring. And at some point, the ring becomes tarnished, does it not, Jay Chris? We talk about it all the time, and I know he said he goes there for a ring. If they win a ring, will we give them the credit they deserve, or will later down the line he be, you know, tarnished because how he got the ring? Because I know I'm getting a tarnishment on it. He may but I think fans will.
To put it in perspective, for me, LeBron's ring last year was the first ring that was not tarnished to me.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. Not the second one where he won it single-handedly by himself when he got nothing from Dwayne Wade.
Any ring that was won in Miami was tarnished to me because of the situation of Miami. He got together with Dwayne Wade. He got together with Chris Bosh, and he said, let's go get this ring. I told you, I was put off by the whole pep rally thing. Once they did that pep rally,
That was horrible. Not one,
I didn't want them to win.
Not two.
I'm not saying that LeBron didn't do his thing with that second ring. I'm not saying that. And really, they should have lost that series. But
you three kings came down here to win championships. Not one championship.
Not two.
LeBron, tell us about that.
Not two. Not three. Not four. Not five.
Not three.
Not
six. Not five. Not six.
Do you take any solace? And what Mike, I said there, Miami only had Dwayne Wade. And so is it a little bit different because they, like, Golden State was already a dominant team that won
that's
a championship.
That's why this is way different. That's why this is way different.
Okay.
Because Golden State is a championship team. They have a ring without Durant. They have two finals appearances without Durant. They have the best regular season record in NBA history without Durant. And then Durant, who was at times considered really like the second best player in the league, goes to play with the second best team in the league. It's kind of crazy. But I just wanted to say one thing before we change subject.
Uh-huh.
When we talk about Durant leaving and what he did and all like that, we get that, right? We understand the blowback by that. Why? I want to know why aren't there any superstars kicking down the door in Oklahoma City to play with Russell Westbrook? What's going on there? I'm just saying.
Jeff Murray asks, or makes a statement saying, if I wanted to beat LeBron, I'd have went to the East, a much easier road. Do you agree with that one, J. Chris?
Well, you're going to see him sometime because he's going to win the East. So you'll probably run into him some way, and then you got to run into him in the West. Yeah, I guess you can call it the easier route. I don't know how much easier the East is now. You know what I mean? I mean, Golden State is the cream of the crop, and then San Antonio's still there, but I'm not sure about them right now. And then who else you got really? I mean, I'm not sure that the East is the dominant fact. I mean, the West is the dominant fact that it was 3-4 years ago. I think it's starting to level out a bit. It's starting to.
It hasn't for the last 5 years. If you guys really look at it, that the East has been has been getting better in that term, Jay Chris. If you look at it,
I think it's
the East is way better than the West right now, 100%. Because the only thing that you have in the West right now, who is it? It's Golden State and maybe San Antonio.
OKC. I mean, all four of those teams are doing very well. I mean, they have nothing to offer.
The only thing Oklahoma City really do have is just Russell Westbrook anyway.
That's true. I mean, we see that when he gets a triple-double just by walking on the court. He's ridiculous. Oh, by the way, speaking of Russell Westbrook, there were people, Jay Chris, I do have, that's a question I definitely will put out in the Twitter sphere, of how come no one's knocking down the door to play with a talent like him? I don't see why. I mean, now some people always want to go to location and will say, well, who wants to play in Oklahoma? Well, who wants to play in Cleveland? But as you can see, if the right star is there, you can attract quality players to build your team up to something of championship caliber, which we obviously saw this past season. So I will have to ask that question, too. Is it something about Russell Westbrook's personal character? Is he just too much of a hard-nosed dude on the court? Does he need the ball, 95% of the plays? Is that pretty much the reason why he's in the triple-doubles? Because he just needs the ball all the time? I mean, he is a point guard, so he always has the ball anyway. So. just a thought.
Just put it, you'll have people that say he doesn't pass the ball. Well, look, he passes the ball at least 10 times a night.
Exactly. So, I mean, when anybody, you don't know what you think, he doesn't pass the ball. Part of his triple-doubles has always been assists. So whoever says that, don't read well.
347-637-3859. Number to call in. Shout out to Jeff Murray. I can't wait to talk about wrestling tonight on Raw, because if you have not seen it, I was just tagged in it. I know you probably saw it already, Micah, the incident with Kevin Owens and a 7-year-old kid over the weekend. We're going to discuss that in a moment. Oh, man, that was hilarious. But also, we still got best and worst of the weekend. But before we get into the Heisman Trophy winner, I have access because I got Jay Chris here. I got Hugo here. One loves one more than the other. The other one loves one more than the other. And I'm kind of in the middle, but love one more than the other as well. And Micah's just still getting his feet wet with both. Bud Crawford. Terrence Crawford, that is. Terrence Bud Crawford. Best in the world. Pound for pound boxer in the world that nobody knows about because he fights out of Omaha, Nebraska. I think he's dominant. Dominant with both hands. UFC was this weekend to no fanfare. Holloway beats Anthony Pettis, the way we all thought he would. Brown
not the way
loses.
He won,
no, not the way you want it. Cowboy Cerrone. But I asked this question. I'm going to start with you, Jay Chris. Can boxing make a resurgence to take the crown back from the UFC. And I put this caveat in there. I think, with all due respect, as much as I love UFC, and I can't even wait for this Saturday night's fight night card with Paige VanZant and the Karate Kid himself going against McCall that beat one CM Punk, formerly known as Best in the World. I think the UFC sold because they knew they hit a wall. And the star power of that company is dwindling. And the overexposure of the UFC is also hurting the brand. His idol was Vincent Kennedy McMahon, and I think he ran his fighters into the ground the same way Vince was running the WWE wrestlers into the ground. I think boxing between the PBC, between HBO, between fighters like Terrence Bud Crawford, between guys like Canelo Alvarez, between legends coming back. I don't care what to say. Kirkland versus Canelo. I mean, not Canelo. Help me out, Puerto Rican guy. Help me out.
Garcia.
Puerto Rican. No, not Garcia. Puerto Rican, Brooklyn. Canelo beat them both.
No, let me see.
Canelo beat them both. They're fighting. Come on, big Puerto Rican. Big Puerto Rican fighter.
Who's he fighting?
Canelo beat him, and Canelo also beat him and Kirkland in back-to-back fights.
I'm trying to.
Oh, God. Angus is excluding me right now.
I'll tell you right now. Hold on.
Margarita beat him real bad with the lace gloves.
Was it Cotto?
Cotto. Thank you. Cotto. I think a fight like that is still good for the business. You got Thurman taking on Danny Garcia. You got the return next year. We might get that fight we're looking for between the Puerto Rican heavyweight Lopez taking on Wilder after he takes his mandatory defense of his title next. If he wins that fight, I'm hearing could be also happening in 2017. I think boxing is poised to take the crown back from MMA. Your thoughts, Jay Chris? Hey, Chris, what's up? You there? Ask you a question, Ninja. And the question ran him off. Well, I think boxing's in a good place right now, Hugo. Your thoughts?
I disagree. I have to disagree with you. And you said something that caught my eye just now, that you believe that the level of competition is dwindling down in the UFC. Mike, I happen to disagree, man.
I said star power.
Excuse me, I apologize. Not competition. Sorry. Not competition. That was the wrong word. If you really look at it, look who the UFC has. He has your favorite player, Mighty Mouse, who you claim to be the best pound for pound UFC fighter in the UFC, the best pound for pound UFC fighter. Okay,
that's because John Jones is.
You also have Daniel Cormier. You also have Conor McGregor. You have Max
All
Holloway.
All about them cakes.
You also have Cain Velasquez. You have such a big talent pool in the UFC that you feel that it's saturated, but every card, they give you a totally different feel.
Blind tag. You can't use guys like Cain Velasquez, who loses lately and injured us lately,
right,
as much as he's healthy. Outside of Conor McGregor, and no one is bringing in any interest into the UFC the way they were before over the last 4 years.
Daniel Cormier
is getting a sympathy vote because people are tired of John Jones's drug-induced, running off pregnant women, jumping over fences with no shoes on, tyrant. That's what they're tired of. I don't think it's more or less that people are
hold
about
on.
David Cormier.
What about the women?
More
hold
than
on.
The fact
you're
that
telling
they are – they're, he's getting sympathy. I think he's getting sympathy fans. That's all. I believe
but
that.
You're also telling me that the women – for example, you're telling me that the women don't also support the interest
fans,
in the UFC?
Way, I'm telling you, without Ronda Rousey, no one really cares about the women in UFC any longer because
– Amanda Nunes? Hold on a second. Amanda Nunes. Holly Holm.
Beautiful and very beautiful Paige VanZant.
Okay, you're telling me that Juliana Pena, excuse me, not Juliana, but well, she's fine as hell too. But Amanda Nunes, you're telling me that she's not going to bring butts to the seats.
That's what you're saying, Hugo. There's a difference between being a good fighter and a fighter that puts butts in the seats. This is what separates Conor McGregor from everybody else, right? Is that Conor comes out here, he talks trash, and he backs it up. These other fighters don't have that, how should they say, that je ne sais quoi? Did I say it right, Michael? Was almost close?
Yes, sir. They don't have that je ne sais quoi. You're right.
Yeah, I wasn't going to repeat it because I wasn't sure if I said it right. Okay? They don't all have that. Daniel Cormier, as good as a fighter he is, he doesn't have that. Okay? He doesn't show that. Ronda Rousey has it. Conor McGregor has it. Showtime Anthony Pettis had it, but he's starting to lose now. You know what I'm saying? Max Holloway, he's a good fighter. But he doesn't have
these
kind of
fighters. Some of these fighters are actually getting old as well, Mike.
You're absolutely
like, for example,
right.
You see a kid like Mickey Gall.
Right. Right.
I was going to say, you see a kid like Mickey Gall, for example. That kid's going to be a superstar.
The UFC needs more. How should I say this to put it into a hip hop state? Nope, don't put words in my mouth now. They need more Kendrick Lamars and less J. Cole's. They got a whole bunch of J. Cole's, great lyricists, great fighters. But not stars. J. Cole's a great lyricist. Take nothing from the man. He can go bar for bar with anybody. But he's not a star. He's not a star. They have you for what makes a federation is stars. This is why people say the WWE is having a down period, right? Because they're not really building stars. Yeah, we love AJ Styles, right? We love him as wrestling fans, but does the world love him? They don't know him enough yet. You feel what I'm saying?
I have a question.
UFC
for you.
Has no stars.
I happen to disagree, but that's okay. I happen to disagree because they do have, you know, record-buying pay-per-view cards. You know, you saw the UFC 200, you saw the UFC 206.
The UFC has one star right now. One.
That is really, really unfair for you
they
guys
have
to
one
say that.
Star.
That is extremely unfair.
They only have one star because I only know one person. That's a person.
Who? Conor McGregor. The Conor McGregor. Daniel Cormier.
I only know three names. Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey,
only
John
time people Jones. Care about Daniel Cormier is when he's fighting John Jones. Besides
thank you.
That, nobody cares about Daniel Cormier.
And listen, Hugo, hear me out now, because I don't want everybody. Remember how we used to always jump on Mr. Lopez? It was kind of funny, right? He would come here talking about TNA, and everybody was like, "Let's shut up," right? It was kind of funny. Hear me out. I love the UFC, okay, and I know you do, but what I've always had to do here, where Barbershop Talk meets Radio, is to educate you a little bit, right? Be honest to yourself. Do you, outside of fight fans, do anybody know anybody in UFC besides Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey?
Now ask yourself that same question in boxing. Outside of Floyd Money Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, realistically, outside of fight fans, who else do they know in the world of boxing? I can tell you right now they don't know Canelo Alvarez.
They don't know. I bet they know Canelo Alvarez more than they know Daniel Cormier.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. What has more mainstream?
There is no
what has more mainstream?
McGregor in boxing.
The only reason people know who Daniel Cormier is John Jones. That's the only. If it weren't for John Jones, that whole situation, I would have no idea who Daniel Cormier is.
Like Jeff Murray said, the
right. Same thing with boxing. Same thing in boxing.
That's why I asked the question, and you said no. Jay Chris is back. I know he's at home with the studio, getting the studio built, and he got the new family as well. But you got a lot of things to play.
I'm multitasking.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
The barbershop. You come to the barbershop, you got to give me. You got DVDs. You got Checker Fred. You got a bad person can't cut your hair. You got somebody ain't sitting in the chair. You got somebody like me to talk about your mama. Listen, the question I'm asking, with the resurgence of boxing that I believe is there, with guys like Garcia, with guys like Cotto fighting Kirkland, with Bud Crawford, who I think is the best fighter in the world that people don't pay attention to. Can boxing overtake UFC again? I say yes, just for the simple fact is there's still a lot of people out there, Hogan. I don't might understand this, or let me not say that part. You may not agree with this, but it's really true. Older people still run the world, right? What we call the good old boys network, right? We talk about basketball, I mean, the NBA and college football, things like that, right? Not the NBA, Major League Baseball. There is still a group of fans, of older sports fans, that will never like MMA because there are certain fights where the guy is just laying down on top of the other guy and people perceive it as being broke back. Just being honest. So because of that, it might have an unfair advantage to boxing. So that's why I was asking the question, Jay Chris, can boxing overtake the UFC one day?
I think
be more
it
popular.
Can. I think it can, but it really – to really, it could – one thing that would really have to happen for it to overtake UFC for good would be to have one governing body. And that's
a dominating American heavyweight fighter, I think, too. I think that's the problem.
Well, see, and that's the thing. That's part of the thing. That's part of the disadvantage of being American is we want to see an American, a dominant heavyweight American fighter. Whereas in Russia, you know, they probably love heavyweight boxing right now because a lot of their guys are the big names in the heavyweight division. But for the world, for it to be, because UFC is not just big in America, it's big around the world, right? So for boxing to be big around the world to everyone, it's got to be, they have to have one governing body, and that's never going to happen in boxing. I never see that happening unless somebody just somehow creates a fight league, which there was one created. I can't remember what it was called, but it was actually some type of fight league. Gabe Rosado actually fought in the fight from Philly, Puerto Rican kid from Philly, who also fights in regular boxing. They fight in some type of round dish ring thing without ropes, and it's pretty cool. You got to check it out.
Right, or Fight League Federation?
Yeah, something like that.
Is that what it is?
It's one of them weird things, man.
That's what it is.
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird, but it's pretty cool at the same time.
Well, right now you got John Jones about to fight Dan Henderson in some underground fight thing. Because he can't fight in a governing body. So he's about
to
fight
Dan
Henderson
for 2 years.
Right. Well, no, mm-hmm. his thing's up in July. No, it's up in July. It's time served.
It's already been 2 years then.
No, he had a podcast Joe Rogan's podcast. He kind of divulged a lot of stuff, and pretty good interview. My thing with John Jones is that I've heard all this stuff before, and it's proof in the pudding. So come get a taste, and I'm not loving it from the smile on his face. I can't trust John Jones anymore because John Jones proves to me that I can trust him. He has to earn my trust back as a fan. But he's fighting in an underground fighting match against Dan Henderson, which to me is a complete mixed match, if you ask me. Go ahead, Jay Chris.
I was just going to say one quick thing that it really – what you said about, you know, old people run things, I think you're right. Until the world starts learning how to fight – until the world starts learning kickboxing, BJJ, judo, and all like that – boxing will probably always be the dominant sport in a sense because everyone has gotten into a fight and has had to use their hands. But when you, like you said, when they get on the ground and BJJ comes into play, not a lot of people understand that. Not people know, people are not educated in that, and they don't know what's going on. And that's when, like you said, that's when a lot of people kind of tune out of what's happening in MMA, is when they're on the ground and it just seems like they've been on the ground for 35 seconds and nothing's going on. You know, we don't realize that, you know, one is trying to gain an advantage over the other in certain techniques.
That was my problem in the beginning, not understanding that. Right. In the beginning, that was my problem beginning watching. It was like, oh, they just sitting here laying around. Like, I knew it wasn't, you know, a broke back thing, but I was just still watching. Like, yo, come on, man. He's grabbing his mangina, and you know what I mean? Like, I thought I was watching the ladies' man all over again. You want to oil up first? But I've come to, over time, you know, enjoy the product and enjoy what they were giving us. I think it's an interesting thing to a dynamic to watch because right now I think both boxing and the UFC minus Conor McGregor are in very, you know, they're in the same spot because they neither one have that guy. Like I said, you take Conor out of the equation, every time the UFC starts to get a dominant heavyweight huggo, they got hurt every single time. First it was Cain, right. God, these names are eluding me right now. Who's been Cain's biggest rivalry right now? Santos. Back and forth with Hammond, and you had, you know, the UFC, you thought you had somebody. At one point, UFC had a dominant, popular fighter in every division, and they don't have that anymore. You know, now they're just giving belts away, and nobody knows these guys. And I think that's what we got to look for in the future. But, hey, we're going to take our last break of the day. A real short break. Come back. Wrestling is tonight, the go-home show for the WWE. Let me go out here, best and worst of the weekend. But a little prompt, too, real fast. In case you slept under a rug, it was a unanimous decision, y'all.
Lamar Jackson, the University of Louisville.
Here's Jackson.
Coming to the biggest
surprise
for a touchdown. Baker Mayfield, the University of Oklahoma.
Baker Mayfield, a man-sized run there.
Jabril Peppers, the University of Michigan.
I told you he's going to do it. 53 yards, punt return, score, Michigan.
Deshaun Watson, Clemson University.
Watson rolls left side. Now go throw it in. Go touchdown.
Dean Westbrook, the University of Oklahoma.
Touchdown, Sooner. Have yourself a day, Dean.
And who will be the winner? The winner is Lamar Jackson of the University of Louisville.
Trying to get out, Jay Chris and Wally always try to pull me back in with their hatred for Terrence Crawford. Like Roy Jones said, on Saturday, you can't help but who was put in front of him. And every time someone is good that you put in front of me, I made them look so bad that you thought I had no competition because I just made everybody else look so bad because I was so good. That was Roy Jones said. I believe that. Molina wasn't a horrible fighter, but if you watched that fight, you thought Molina was a horrible fighter because he had no chance in hell to beat Terrence Bud Crawford. But hey, give us one governing body and let's find out really how good is the boy. But Monday Night Raw, go home, show is tonight. But before we go into the Monday Night Raw show, shout out my man Jeff Murphy that Twitter there. Did anybody see what happened over the weekend with at a house show with Kevin Owens and Little Boy? Little Boy reached his hand up to give Kevin Owens a handshake, right? And he had a Roman Reigns shirt on. And Kevin Owens said to him, "I'm not touching your hand. Don't wear my shirt. Don't ever wear my shirt. You don't deserve to wear my shirt." Well, apparently, the little seven-year-old boy started crying and went back to his mama. And now this could really be bad for Kevin Owens as WWE champion, who's already getting a lot of flack for saying he's not doing a good job at being a champion. I say this much to you. That right there, and I could be wrong, and excuse me if I am wrong, and it's the barbershop, and listen, we can talk about anybody and everybody, whoever and whatever, in the barbershop, okay? Because ain't nobody off limits in the barbershop, okay? So as long as that's understood, it's what it is. And in that case, I got to say this much. I'm not sure if that boy has a daddy at home. Okay. Sorry. My son ain't gonna cry because Kevin Owens told him, "Don't wear my shirt." My son might have called him out. Okay. I'm being honest. My son's got balls the size of grapefruits. Okay. So, to me, it was a little bit funny that your little boy did that. I'm sorry. Am I wrong on this one, Micah, for laughing at this little boy and his mama for posting this on Facebook that got almost 1 million views?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yo, let me tell you something about what Kevin Owens did. There was a time where kayfabe existed. And when someone healed, that was a heal all the time. Hey, care if you was a child, slap on you in a second. And Kevin Owens did, And when Kevin Owens did it, it was classic heel stuff. And you want to know something, Mike? Because
exactly.
You're a man, and you're a man raising a son, then your son has a tendency to start to emulate more masculine things that you have been showing him. One of them in which, if he was wearing his Roman Reigns shirt, if he has a Roman Reigns shirt, and he was there, Kevin Owens said, "Don't touch me, I ain't shaking your head, you got a Roman Reigns shirt on, blah, blah, blah." He would have screw you, Roman Reigns is going to beat you anyway. That's exactly what your son would have said. Because
you taught
your son with some male and masculine habits. Now, we are in the day and age where there are a lot more single-parent households, and those single-parent households have...
I bet you that boy got 13 participation trophies.
Exactly. So, hey, mostly ladies. Hey, ladies, we're not saying that you're evil people. We're just saying when it comes to raising men, you can't do it. Call me whatever you want to, but it's kind of really hard for a woman to teach a man how to be a man. He needs to see men.
It is. And I was raised by my mama, and it took me going back to Chicago, and my uncles whooping my arse, punching me in the chest for me to man up. To be honest with you, shout out to my man DJ said he's doing what he's supposed to do, be a heel champ. And I agree 100%. And my man Robbie saying make him a part of the show, he'll do it for free. I'm not sure if you can fit in a barbershop and you can handle the barbershop. You know what I mean? You got to be able to handle your own in the barbershop. Because in case you didn't know.
Hold on here. Is it a barbershop? Is this a barbershop? I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation. That's all right.
You
got to
tell the pop down.
Man, ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
And I'm talking about that little boy not having no daddy at home. Hugo, what do you think? Kevin Owens being a true heel? Or this woman not teaching her son how to be a man.
Why are you even bringing this up, Mike?
It was funny. It was brought to my attention that this happened over
you're
the weekend, and I happened
to
think it was funny.
How old is the kid?
7 years old. I have a 7 year old.
How would you like it if it had been your son in that situation?
My son wouldn't have cried. He'd have been like, yo, you're going to lose anyway. You're not John Cena. You're not Roman Reigns. He wouldn't have cried. I'm being honest. I will bring my kid in here right now, and y'all can yell at my son right now. You got to have thick skin. This little boy cried to his mama.
It's a single
because
mother.
Because Kevin Owens
it's a single
told
single
him.
Mother.
Because I was a single mother, Hugo. I was a single mother. You know what? And one time, I went to see Michael Jordan, okay? And I'm screaming and screaming and screaming, Michael! Michael! He ignored me. He absolutely ignored me. You know what? A group of little girls started screaming his name, Michael! Michael! And he waved. I didn't cry.
Okay.
I wanted to start a coat for Christmas, right? A Philadelphia Eagles starter coat for Christmas. My mother brought me a stonewashed Burlington Coat Factory Eagles coat.
You're
not
so
a starter
useless,
coat.
Mike.
Not a starter coat.
You're
she brought me a stone cold, stonewashed Eagles jacket. I didn't cry to my mama. What's going on, Tom? I didn't cry to my mama. That's what I'm saying. Hey, Chris, am I wrong? Is this little boy soft or what?
You got a whole generation of youngins that are just soft. SOS capital T. I'm sick of these soft kids, man.
Hey,
I'm sick of these kids.
Man, me too, Chris. Michael,
I thought you'd be the more compassionate out of everyone.
There's only one word to describe this kid. One word.
You're wrong, Mike. You're wrong.
I'm wrong.
You are wrong.
Oh,
you guys are wrong. Poor kid.
We're not wrong.
This is what our culture is. And then we keep telling people, yo, you need to go ahead and get some fathers in these households, man. We're losing men. We're losing men with some bad habits. And I'm trying to tell you, you cannot have this many men, especially those of us who are of color, being raised by ladies.
Hold on, I got blind tag you. I got blind tag you. Jeff said that because Jeff's a white guy who's married to a black woman, by the way. But he says it had to be a white kid. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
Well done, sir. Well done. Good job.
I'm just saying, let's move on. 347-637-3859. That kid is soft. Kevin Owens, You're even more my hero. Now I know why I'm called the Kevin Owens Show. Okay? Because that, my friends, is inter-frickin-tainment at its finest. I don't want you
is
to wear my
video
shirt.
Viral?
You cannot wear it. It's on video. I'm going to tag you in it when we get off the air. I promise you. You have to see it. It is hilarious. Okay. It is hilarious. Right. It is hilarious. Syllables. Hilarious. Okay? Hey, that kid is soft. Candy! Candy! You teach the kids of young minds. Is this little kid soft or what?
And he's not soft. He's 7 years old. This is the thing with men. I think part of the reason why a lot of us grow up not well adjusted and not able to express our emotions, because a lot of us didn't have the opportunity to cry when we were kids, and we take out.
Oh, horse ish. I cried all the damn time. The thing was this, Tammy, this is the truth, so help me God. There was a little game, right? A coaching for my grandmother's house, right? You know, we're in the ghetto, we're in the hood. You don't have, like, toys and stuff, right? You got to make stuff happen. We flipped on dirty matches and stuff. So there was, like, a stoop, and we would all see who could jump over the stoop different kind of ways, right? You know, like, no hands, two hands, flips, all kind of stuff, right? I remember I went one time, and my foot got caught, and I fell flat face on my stomach, like in a belly up in a pool. Smack! I ran across the street first before I cried. There's nothing wrong with crying, okay? There's not. If my son cries because he gets hurt, I'm going to accept that. My son, my daughter, who I love, and unfortunately, I am blessed to have two boys and two girls, and I have been the beneficiary of having two daughters that are very, very emotional, okay? They're a Cancer daughter. I got Aries sons and Cancer daughters, okay? They are super, super emotional, okay? I have to be able, as a parent, to talk to my child without my child crying, okay? Words like that, it's wrestling. First of all, your son should know what he's watching. My seven-year-old knows that's part of the show, okay? So that's bad parenting by the mother to know that if you're that close, that a wrestler might take your son's sign and rip it up, or somebody might come out and hug your son. That's part of the show, okay? My son... That's not them not being able to cry. That's a weak moment of crying. And I'd have told my if that was my son and he cried, I might have took him in the bathroom and whooped his arse. Because you don't cry over that kind of stuff. You don't. I understand what you're trying to say. I really do. Okay, and of course I'm going a little extra. Okay, I'm on Facebook Live. I got an audience. Okay, I am being a little extra, but I'm also being real. That's all I've ever been. That's all I can be. All right. So I don't spell my name with three X's just because it's a catchy thing to do. Okay.
Right.
You cannot cry over spilt milk. Seriously. Now, if a damn chair fell on your leg, cry all you want to if that stuff hurts. Damn it, I can't tell you what hurts or not. If your mother passes away, cry. That's your mother. But if the kid in the corner said, you got on Bobos, or your Jordan got holes in them, and you start crying, you're pretty soft. You're pretty soft, and you deserve to get picked on.
All I know is I was never allowed to cry when I was a kid, and I grew up being doing all kind of womanizing and, emotionally unstable. So
in the words of Ludacris, I love women so much I had two. Okay, and my wife said to me the other day, she said, all the things you did to women, you got it back and you got two daughters. You know what? I have never, ever had a girlfriend that I cannot call to this day and we're still friends. I've never, even though I may have cheated on them and I had a tattoo on my arm, I got it on my arm, I don't care, HBK, I called myself a heartbreaker and things like that, I always remain friends with them. Okay, so it's how you talk to people, and it's words should not hurt. Unless they coming from your inner circle. What makes me the maddest is that, because me and you have been friends for years now, Cammy, if me and you had a falling out, that may hurt my feelings because I consider you a friend of mine. You feel what I'm saying? Me and Jay Chris get into a fight, that's going to hurt my feelings. If I get into a fight, with all due respect, with Toph, that's not going to hurt my feelings. I'm cool with Toph, but I'm going to consider my brother. Words ain't supposed to hurt you from random people. They're not. But we're going to move on. We got 10 minutes left in the program, and Raw go home, show us tonight. We're going to be real quick, real fast, and in a hurry. And my man Vic checking in from across the pond. Of course, see, I'm attacking the bill in a second, Victor. Kevin Owens told his kid not to wear a shirt. And little kid started crying to his mama. But the go-home show is tonight. A lot of rumors are speculating right now. Latest rumor out there is that Roman Reigns' opponent at WrestleMania will be Braun Strowman. I love that, by the way. I think that's perfect, by the way. And another rumor is there's a major trade about to happen between Raw and SmackDown, including one, AJ Styles, moving to Raw. I think that's a bad move for SmackDown. And possibly maybe for Raw, because Raw has a tendency of maybe burying guys. And this just shows you right now that even though they had a brand split between the two companies, the rosters are still really thin. And right now, the best promo I've seen from anybody comes from Dashing the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, as he's going to join the Bullet Club. And for the first time ever, I'm going to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling like it was my job, okay? But Raw tonight, go home show. Starting with you, Micah, what do you expect tonight to happen on Monday Night Raw? Something good or something bad?
I'm expecting Raw to be kind of bad for a go-home show. They, them, as far as what they have done as their individual brand perception-wise, hadn't had a lot of good go-home shows, but I think there's a lot to offer in this one based on especially what happened last week, especially with some of the key storylines, the Tag Team Championship and, of course, the Women's Championship, to actually end the Women's Championship rivalry. And let that one breathe so that we can develop some other ladies. You know, that would be nice. And that's pretty much what I'm looking forward to, see how they talk about those, because I'm not really worried about Roman Reigns. I'm not really worried about that match. I think Kevin Owens is going to retain anyway. So, excuse me. I'm not really worried about that, especially if they're going to put him in a program with Braun Strowman. They need someone and that's legit in the eyes of many, many fans to get Braun over, especially if he captures that mid-card title. To launch Roman Reigns back into the main card title picture, the main title picture. So I think that'd be good. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm expecting. I'm not really like interested in the pay per view based on.
I know,
what I've been,
right?
But if they give me what they haven't given me these last two Raw exclusive pay per views, and give me a reason to watch, then I'll watch. I mean, I'll probably watch anyway, but I won't watch with like bated breath because I'm interested in something. So that's pretty much where I'm at with this right now. That's pretty much where I'm at. I'm going to be kind of mad. Except for that Iron Woman match. It should be good. So
You know what? And I'm tired of them calling it an Iron Man match with a woman 30 minutes. Just call it an Iron Woman's match. Why is that so damn difficult to call an Iron Woman's match?
That's disparaging when I call it an Iron Woman. They're women. They're women.
Right.
You're not disparaging. They're Iron Woman wears. I mean, like, and I mean, the only thing that's disparaging to the woman if you want to go the social justice warrior route is the fact that it's not – a whole hour is 30 minutes. Whatever. That's about it. That's the only thing that could be.
Well, it might only be a 2-hour pay per view. They've been doing that a lot lately, so maybe that's what's going to happen. Hugo.
Remember, in the WCW, they used to do the 30-minute Ironman match, and then WWE started with the Iron. Because remember, I don't know if you remember, Mike, but like they would. I remember like Dustin Rhodes and Ravishing Rick Rude would have 30-minute Ironman matches, and and they were good, you know. I think ours start, you know, it's kind of stretching it for television.
I personally hated the hour. I think it ran its course too many times, to be honest, with the hour-long match. And they tried to rekindle what happened with Bret and Shawn. And that's very far in between what those guys pulled off and the manner in which they pulled it off in. Kurt Angle had a really good one. But, even rocking Triple H's, was kind of long, but you had to throw in other wrinkles and DX and all that kind of stuff happened. So I think that kind of match. Go ahead.
That was the only second ever Iron Man match, really, that Triple H and Rock, if I'm not mistaken.
No, there's Kurt Angle
so
was in
was
one.
Fresh.
Kurt Angle had
no, one. No. I'm talking about the succession. I think it was Bret and Shawn and then Triple H and Rock, and then Kurt Angle had one.
Right. Okay.
I know it was long. Yeah. Okay. I got you with you. Okay.
Are you looking forward to Raw tonight? Because I'll be honest with you, I have no Supergirl. Every TV show is in mid-season. is in mid-season break right now, and so I'll be watching Love and Hip Hop because I don't watch wrestling on time. I just can't watch it on time. And then I will tune in at 9 o'clock. I watch Ratchet. Listen, I have a wife and she watches Ratchet TV. Okay, don't judge me. Just love me. Okay, and I'm gonna watch Ratchet TV and then I'm gonna tune into wrestling.
No, I'm not looking forward to Monday Night Raw, to be honest with you. It's always when it's a down period, especially in the Christmas season, that they don't produce really good quality. And once again, it's another pay-per-view. A week and a half ago, we had another pay-per-view. Now we're getting another one on the Raw brand. It's just too much to keep up with. There is a hell of a game on tonight on Monday Night Football, Patriots and the Ravens. That's what I'll be tuning into. I really don't care for Monday Night Raw. I mean, I'll watch it because we have to talk about it in the show later on, but I'm not going to watch it live. No chip.
Micah took his take. KME, are you watching Raw tonight? I mean, it is end of the row. And real fast, Hugo, they got a network they have to fill up. I don't mind the pay-per-view. I know people don't. I don't care. They're each one. All they did was every month there was a pay-per-view anyway, right? So all they did was give each show their own pay-per-view. So I don't see what's wrong with that, to be honest. But that's essentially what they did. So the problem with Raw is what we've been saying for 5 years. Get out of the three-hour slot and go back to 2 hours. That's the problem with Raw. KME, tonight on Monday Night Raw, will you be watching Raw? Will you be watching Ratchet TV or Patriots Ravens?
I'll probably be watching Patriots Ravens, but I'm going to, check in the Raw, but I'm not really expecting them. I think most of us are just kind of chilling until the Royal Rumble, so I'm not going to be complaining about Raw or SmackDown. It is what it is.
I was going back last week, Hugo, listen to the show, and that's what I'm trying to do again, so we can go ahead and fix things that we do from before. And something I didn't pay attention to, I didn't respond to you properly about, the difference between the two shows. The reason why I'm stuck right, yes, to both of the shows are different shows, and so you have a right to like one more than the other. I don't think I gave you the respect I should have gave you when saying that. I guess my problem lies because it's still all the WWE product. It's like when people say, well, I love NXT more than Raw. It's still WWE. You understand? If that makes any sense to you? You know what I mean? So when people say, well, I love Raw more than SmackDown, well, it's still WWE product. So at the end of the day, it's all WWE. That's where I lie with that.
No, I got you. It's cool, but it's just like, people who like Arrow better than Flash. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's
right.
I think it's okay to have a preference, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I can't wait till Arrow come back because the producer is saying Oliver's taking a whole new twist on what he's going to do. So, I read a lot of stuff. I'm hype on my superhero stuff lately. I really, really am. Jay Chris, you be at work. You dabble in wrestling sometimes. Is this something right now? Has wrestling took you away?
Haven't been in tune with it at all. I mean, it's kind of like what you said earlier, Mike. They just don't have that star power right now. A few weeks ago, we talked about, wrestlers that were bigger than the WWE, The Rock, Stone Cold, guys like that, Hulk Hogan. They don't have that anymore, and my interest level is just not there. I'll probably watch the game and work on the studio.
John Cena was great on Saturday Night Live. People ain't talking about that. I thought it was better. It was really good in my opinion, but I'm a John Cena mark, so maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
I like him as Gronkowski.
What you say, Cammy?
Okay.
I thought he was passable on SNL. It wasn't like when The Rock first hosted,
It doesn't matter what you think. No, I had to get that out there. it was good. I knew you were going to bring up The Rock. I knew you was. Well, I mean, that's not fair.
He's the most legendary man
in entertainment. That's not fair. But truly, we got to get a ring of the body here, guys. Best and worst of the weekend. Hugo, Micah, everybody, get your air guitars ready. Come on. for me was the Fast and the Furious 8 trailer. Listen, I watched War of the Planet of the Apes. I watched Spider-Man. And I'm saying to myself, wow, I cannot wait. And then Fast 8 drops this trailer that changed I've never in my life. I'm a YouTuber. My son's becoming a YouTuber. And I never got the point. Why do people make reaction videos to trailers? Well, if you could have seen my reaction yesterday watching this trailer for Fast 8, oh my, I've never seen nothing like it. I cannot wait. The plot thickens. I cannot wait. That's my best of the weekend. Worst of the weekend was the hangover I had Sunday morning having to go to work because we took our kids to the Tacky Light Tour, which, by the way, one of the houses in Richmond, Delaware, in Richmond, Virginia, will be on ABC's light show tonight at 8 o'clock. And I'm hoping it's one of the houses that I picked to win in Richmond because these houses' light bill must be $10,000 a month because it was crazy, 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 crazy. But my real worst of the weekend was the Philadelphia Eagles losing, and my best of sports weekend was still the Dallas Cowboys woke up this morning and sucked, and the fact that the Dodgers kept the damn closer away from the Cubs. You son of a bitches. You kept your closer. Congratulations. My Cubs may be in trouble this year waiting for a pitcher to come out from Japan next year, but that's okay. Jay Chris, best of worst of the weekend.
Worst of the weekend had to be the Eagles losing. It was just, devastating. Devastating. I mean, it wasn't that they lost, it was the way they lost, the dirty tactics of the skins and all like
very
that.
Dirty.
So
very dirty.
That was one. But I think one of the best of the weekend had to be the Terrence Crawford fight. And
the overrated Terrence Crawford?
See, I never called him overrated. I've never said that. Those words never came out of my mouth. I said he's good. But I agree with Wally that until, I think he needs to fight somebody, and it's not his fault. People will avoid him. He needs to fight somebody. I think he can beat a lot of these guys out there. He just needs the chance to prove it. I really believe that's why I sent you that message. Governing body, he's the best pound for pound in everybody's mind.
I want to
see
that.
But, yeah, the Terrence Crawford fight was the best to see. The way John Molina Jr. was, I guess you can call, defending himself. It was just funny. It was fun
just,
to watch that.
Just come
funny,
in with your
funny,
hands
funny.
Up, covering your face, and hope you can land a punch. I know. That's
but
the worst of the
weekend. But it looked like Tommy Hearns against Martin. That's what it looked like.
It did look like Tommy Hearns against Martin. It really did. Who you got, Hugo? Best and worst of the weekend.
Like I told you, best of the weekend for me, besides the Dallas Cowboys, actually losing, was my buddy Philip finally graduated with a master's degree, so congratulations to him. The worst of the weekend for me was, once again, my team in the Premier League, man. Man City is dropping two in a row. That defense is not looking good for Pep Guardiola, the greatest manager in soccer history. So, Man City, if you want to win anything, you're going to have to shape up that defense. And that was the worst of my weekend for me, man.
I see you on the plexis this week, buddy. Micah, best and worst of the weekend.
Best of the weekend was definitely the combination of Dallas losing and also on Saturday enjoying my time at the KLG Gamer Lounge over there downtown in Richmond, man. Let me tell you, they got a Madden tournament coming next week, and there's going to be a $20 buy-in. So, man, if you're a Madden player, get in where you fit in. $5 grand prize for the high-level players. Anyway, the worst of the weekend was the fact that you weren't there to enjoy the games with me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. You got a real job, man. You got to pay bills. I do too, so it happens.
Well, people, listen. Our time is up. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love God. That's crazy. See you tomorrow, y'all. Peace.
Franchise.
This is the Soul in Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul in Sports, we keep it hot, man.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
If you're not down with that, we got two words for you!
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
It's time for Holiday Taste of Sam's. Hurry into your club and sample delicious party foods. Get inspired and delight your friends and family throughout the holidays. While you're there, save on your favorite appetizers, like 3 pounds of Easy Peel Shrimp for just $19.98, or 10 pounds of Yummy Tyson Chicken Wings, also just $19.98. Treat yourself and save at Sam's Club, December 16th through 18th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Join us for the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. See club for details.